Well, okay, let's get into our review and let's make it do what it do. I am Tearon, that's T-E-A-R-O-N, period. And it's another Tuesday. Well, it's not Tuesday, actually. What?
It's Thursday.
I'm so used to doing things on Tuesday. It's Thursday and we are live for Ubiquitous Blacks Reviews. And I am here with none other than...
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tierra Janae. It is Thursday, and I am here with my boy, Tearon, like you said, for another round of reviews. And we are talking Freaknik.
We won't get into the trailer because we pretty much already got into that when we previewed the trailer. And again, you can find that on our YouTube channel. But I do want to just dive straight into the documentary here. Again, if you haven't yet seen this, it's currently streaming on Hulu. And we can't. We live, okay? And I can't show you everything that's in the documentary on this live. They're not going to shut me down. Hulu got money. We don't. And so there's not even a need for me to say viewer discretion advised or anything like that because I'm not going to show you any of the raunchy, salacious anything. We're just going to... Keep it clean.
Okay. Good job. Okay. All right. Good job.
So
this is a family friendly show.
It's going to be as family friendly as Freaknik can be.
Yes.
So starting out, Freaknik started out, which this is something that I was educated on because I did not know exactly when, how, or you know, everything came about. So we actually learn in the documentary, they start out pretty early on and put some respect on the actual way that it was started. And that was in the early 80s by a group of college students.
That the way we started it is not how it ended.
Right.
And that's, I think, people don't know that. I think when people hear the word Freaknik, they think of the 90s,
right?
But people did not know about the 80s.
Yeah.
They didn't know how we started it.
They don't know where the name came from.
We had no money. We were getting support from left and right. We made it happen. And I'm telling you, we had no inclination to the depth of a legacy we were creating.
Listen, facts on facts on facts. I know that none of them, I know looking back, they're probably like, yo. And then also younger people looking at them would be like, oh, these are our grandparents. This is why I tell people all the time, when you look at your parents or you talk to your parents or you're getting advice from them or you are, you know, feeling some kind of way or whatever, remember that they had a whole life before you came.
Mm-hmm.
And some of y'all was probably conceived during Freaknik anyway, but, that's besides the point. One thing that I wanted to see here, Tierra, and this is where I did kind of wish, and we know that this is happening a lot, and we know because you and I review these things, we get overwhelmed sometimes with the series, right? And it's like, oh gosh, there's like several episodes. This is the point where I did kind of wish that the documentary took a series route instead. Because we get to see some of them, but we don't get to spend enough time with them, I feel. And I really wanted to hear more of that conversation intimately, if that makes sense. But what did you think about the founders? We got to see some people from that era and hear some of what they had to say. But that was my take on it. What did you think?
I loved seeing them. I thought it was cool that they were invited to be a part of this because, like you mentioned, they could have just omitted them completely. And like you said, we wouldn't have even known. So I thought that that was dope. I also think it's dope that, like, they're still around. Yeah. I think it's so cute. I mean, like, one of the guys mentioned it was, like, 40 years ago the last time he saw them. And I thought to myself, wait, 40 years? That's not right. But then it dawns on me, like, oh, this is from the crew from the 80s. Like, I thought that was really dope. I hear you about wanting to hear a little bit more, but then I'm also like, no shade. What else is there to contribute than what they've already contributed? That's no shade.
You ain't right.
So they gave what was supposed to have gave, and I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we get transported a bit further in to the future because, again, this was the early 80s. What was that like? What did they say? 83?
Something like 83.
That. So mm-hmm. Let's see. What? A few years later, 89, Freaknik is a whole thing and people are learning more about it. More people are visiting year after year after year.
How did it get to be such a big deal?
It's because it's a black environment down here. You know, you have all the black colleges down here. Everyone gets together and join themselves.
But how does word get around? I mean, it wasn't all that big a deal 5 years ago.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
You were not just, people just told each other stuff. You know, sometimes I think back when I was younger and I we would hear these different stories, like popular stories about like, say like a celebrity or something like this. Mm-hmm. And I think back and I'm just like, how did we hear this? Like who told who what, right? Of course we had the landline, you know, that's one way your mm-hmm. cousin tell you something and you repeat it mm-hmm. and so on. But stuff used to travel so quickly despite, but what I think the distinction of then and now is that I think that people valued information more because it took more effort to transfer the information.
Yes.
If I went to college down in Atlanta and I happened to go mm-hmm. home for spring break or wherever, and I told you, oh, they're having this thing this week. I'm only going to be here for a few days, but I'm going back for the rest of Freaknik or whatever. And you're like, what is that? And I think that's all it takes. It's like a wildfire, right? It just spreads. But people didn't have... Yeah. You couldn't text anybody back then. It was
no, there was no socials. It was none of that. It was literally word of mouth, and it was one of those things. Like, I mean, I assume I wasn't there, mm-hmm. But I feel like it was one of those things where like you had to see it because like you could hear about it, and yeah, people had of course photos and videos, but not in the way that we do now. Everything was an instant. They had to wait and go get that film developed.
Yeah.
They had to go roll that tape back and rewind it and make sure they record over it to see what was going yeah. on. So they were like, okay, we're going to go down there and see for ourselves.
I could only imagine going for spring break down to Freaknik with a Polaroid camera. Not even that Polaroid, okay? Not the one that prints out right then. But the one you got to take down to the Walgreens and get developed on the Fuji film.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can only mm-hmm. imagine going down and snapping shots, getting to the clerk back in Indiana. I don't know where you came yep. from, right?
Wherever.
And yeah. waiting a week and some change. Maybe I don't know how long did it used to take to develop film?
5 to 7 days.
At least a week, right? And then you go back to pick up your stuff, and lo and behold, the people looking at you crazy because in your stack of pictures is someone busting it open.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Also that. A face that you'll probably never see again because you don't even know who this is busting it down at the Freaknik.
Oh my goodness. So as we go further into the documentary, they also shed light on Atlanta culture in a significant way. Atlanta culture, and then, of course, Black culture in the bigger spectrum. But one person that they highlight in the documentary that I think was highly necessary and significant was mm-hmm. Rain Dupree.
He's always and still to this day about uplifting the Atlanta culture and preserving the Atlanta culture and showcasing Atlanta to the world.
As Freaknik is getting bigger, you saw people like Jermaine Dupri use it as an opportunity to kind of introduce more of the world to Southern hip-hop.
Jermaine Dupri, like the Dr. Dre of Atlanta, like the Diddy of Atlanta, for
mm-hmm. Jermaine Dupri is one of those people, when you do think back on his legacy, because he's been around for so long, he really mm-hmm. he seems too humble for me. Mm-hmm. Right? You never really hear Jermaine like inserting himself into stuff or even flexing his accolades.
Contributions, yeah.
And they're significant. They're huge. You can't have modern day Atlanta without the influence that Jermaine Dupri had on Correct. Music and the culture. I did appreciate that they put some respect on him. Also did appreciate seeing Uncle Luke as well, because we know when it comes down to raunchy hip hop era music, Uncle Luke was at one time the pinnacle.
Can I call out a quote from Uncle Luke that I specifically took down for this conversation? And I quote, "Anybody who goes to college, the first thing you think about is sex." Sir, what? What are you talking about?
I think that is kind of true.
I think it's not. It's absolutely no.
You can't say that right now because I think your mama watch it. But no. I think that's true.
No. When you're thinking of college, that's the first thing y'all are thinking about?
Yeah, you like, okay, it's not like, oh, the, you know, it's general, of course. It's not like, oh, I'm thinking
that's
like,
what the man said.
What he's saying is once you've been accepted and you know it's coming.
That ain't what he said. Yeah,
it was implied.
it was not implied.
Once you've been accepted into college and you know that it's coming up and you're going to be leaving, especially if you're leaving, if you're leaving your where you were raised and stuff and you're going to stay somewhere, you definitely think, oh, it's going down. You think that. That's a part of it.
He said the first. I said, oh, nah, please. I rewound it because I was like, did I hear that right?
I mean, it's up there right after tuition.
Please.
But anyhow, so the documentary goes forward and, you know, they shed light on a few more things leading up to that. But ultimately, the downfall of Freaknik, it really came down to, and this I did know, so I wasn't surprised to learn of it. It really came down to money, as all things do in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
They allow Freaknik for many years. Well on almost what, a whole 2 decades? No, a decade and a half. Almost a decade and a half.
Yeah.
And they allowed it to go on because it was a huge source of tourism and revenue for the city. But once they announced that the Olympics were coming, hang it up.
The International Olympic Committee has awarded the 1996 Olympic Games to the city of Atlanta.
Do you remember that? Do you have, well, you were kind of, I'm not trying to be funny.
No, I do remember hearing about it. It wasn't something I cared about, of course, because you know, I was probably like six or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just something like, it was like, okay, this is significant because of course the Olympics is an international thing. It's a world stage thing, right? And the city decided that they wanted to clean up its image and disregard the years of loyalty. But here's one thing that I thought about that maybe others didn't, was to me, the leaders at the time who, you know, were negotiating whether they were going to, you know, say, hey, we need to not do this event anymore, or we're going to stand up for the people and we're going to have this event. Those particular people, that group of Black people, let me put it that way. They seem to be, to me, the types that cared about how they came off to white people.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Since those people were the ones making the decisions, I think that's why things went the way that they went. You know what I mean?
I think I agree with what you're saying. I knew exactly where this was going. And I think that has a lot to do with just like age, right? Like those people, and even the man that they had in the documentary was an older gentleman. So like when they were coming up, it was about, oh, you got to look good in front of white people. Oh, you got to be the good Negro. You got to be the smart one. You got to be the one that speaks well. You have to be this and that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they came up in that era of like a different type of Black excellence than we speak about today. So I understand where that comes from and why they thought that. It's unfortunate, but it's a sign of the times, I feel
like. Yeah. And it was one of the things that just stood out to me. It was just like they gave up under the pressures of, we don't want to look bad. But
well, if they can only see what's going on today.
Oh yeah, because honestly, that was the thing I thought too. I was like, they had the disclaimer at the beginning, but I was like, based on the stuff you see just scrolling on Instagram, this was a bit tame. We end out the documentary learning about the future legacy of Freaknik and how it was carried on into the form of a festival. It could no longer be the parade in the streets, the community gatherings, the people traveling from all over. Basically, this is now a concert.
Freaknik ended years ago, but organizers say this is the revamped version. You know, the organizer, when I spoke to him earlier today, he really wants people here in Atlanta to know that you can celebrate Freaknik in a positive way.
Hey man, Freaknik's always a vibe.
And most of us, we were born in the 90s. I love all of the 90s aesthetics, and so I wanted to give a little sparkle, a little shine.
Freaknik is very important to that, you know, hip hop, all of that.
Maybe they can make it like a traveling festival, like they go to different cities.
I had the same thought. Yeah, I was like, why not start with making it like a thing where they go to like the different HBCU towns, right? And you know, just have a new place each year or whatever.
Yeah, I think that would be cool, and I think that'll breathe some new life into it. Also, get some young people on board, and also bring light to the different HBCUs that are outside of Georgia. So I think that would be really cool. But yeah, I mean, that's cool. I'd love to see them carrying that on. I mean, it's something that's recognizable, and it's recognizable enough to where, like, if you didn't know that they were making a festival out of it, you would go look it up, because you'd be like, Freaknik in 2024? What's that? So good for them.
Yeah. I mean, they can have it.
Okay. Well, let's get into what they came for. Our review. Yeah. Our rating.
Yes, yes.
I can't wait to see what you got to say. I can't wait.
Well, I'll say this.
Yeah.
Overall, again, woo, the documentary was something that was super hyped. Okay.
Very,
especially by the culture. Once we latch onto something, we're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna make it a point to make it a big deal, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think that the documentary lived up to that. And here's why. I told you when we saw the trailer that I felt like they were going to water it down a little bit,
make it tame or make it general,
you know, to be accepted by everybody. Again, this was probably made by the same group of people that made the decision to, you get my point. The people who cared about what, you know, others looked like, but also it comes down to the, like the footage you can actually use, and then things that it would have changed the rating. Okay. Mm-hmm. But also it's a different time. I think that if this documentary came out right after Freaknik was over, then we would have saw everything. But that may not have been the best call either. I just think it didn't live up to the hype that we wanted it to. There are better Freaknik documentaries that exist and made by amateurs on online that you can find. And this just seemed to be a polished version with talking heads of some of the era, right? I think that also they failed a little bit with getting the right talking heads in place. People to give their commentary that would have been at the time that were significant. The people that I did appreciate were the Jermaine Dupri's, the Uncle Luke. I think for a moment they had like Lil Jon in there, but they barely used, I don't know what they asked him. I don't know. He wasn't throughout. They did a good job, again, finding the founders and people that we didn't know even existed. So I'll give them that. But I just, if this was going to be the polished, you know, Hollywood studio version of the documentaries that you find online anyway, then at least have the people who are giving their commentaries be more interesting beyond just having Atlanta roots. They did okay with half of them. The other half, I was like, okay. And then And also, it just, I don't know. I expected to get into more. I expected to kind of be like this. Ooh. None of that happened. They didn't use any of the footage that I know exists. And they could have even blurred it. But they didn't use any of that. Like the stuff that would have been like, ooh, they really did it. I don't think this paints the good picture of how wild Freaknik got. And they pulled back on it. They didn't want to be sued or whatever. I don't know. You know, it's a different time. People are more sensitive. So maybe that's why. I am going to give my rating for it. Did not hate it. I did not over love it. But I know the significance of it for the culture. And I am glad that something from our early childhood, even though, again, we weren't participating, but our parents were, our, you know, people's grandparents were. I'm glad to see this era be shown in this light and to know that there's some stuff that still kind of carries on throughout. So I am going to give my rating, and I am going to give a Queen Latifah.
What? Okay. Okay.
What say you?
All right. Now, T, you know what? I always sandwich when you're right. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you about the talking heads. I think, and when we say talking heads for people watching, we mean the interviews. I think there was more that could have been given. It felt like they hit up their friends and were like, hey, are you available to do this? And they were like, yeah, sure, whatever. I love seeing Killer Mike, love seeing CeeLo, love seeing Rashida. I thought she was a great choice. JD, of course, yeah. Too Short was in it. Like, so we had some great people in it, and I really appreciated that. I think that for me, I wanted to see more women talk about their experience as attendees at Freaknik, being good or bad. So we had like women speaking about it, but a lot of times it was like the founders or something like that. And then we kept going to Rashida. And of course, Rashida has a specific perspective because she's from Atlanta. Yeah. She grew up in that. So I would love to have seen some different perspective. Also, I got a little uneasy when the men were talking about women's sexuality and women being sexually liberated at Freaknik and this and that. And I'm like, oh, I don't think you should be speaking on women's sexual liberation at Freaknik. I think women should speak for themselves. And so that for me, I was like, that's a little bit of a miss. I felt like we could have had a different perspective there. But I did appreciate the little mini nuggets along the way. Mm-hmm. So we talked about Dungeon Family. We talked about Jermaine Dupri. We talked about 90s Black fashion. We talked about the history of Atlanta. We talked about the Olympics. So I like that all of that was weaved in, and this just wasn't solely a documentary about Freaknik. So I think that is why they omitted a lot of the stuff that would have been shock value, the stuff that would have been, oh my God, mouth on the floor, you know. Also, I think they didn't want to toe that line of this becoming a documentary that was more like a Me Too kind of thing, if you see what I'm saying, because we could have went in that direction. I don't think they wanted to go there. So I think they did a good job of not ignoring some of the things that were happening with like sexual assault and women being sexually abused and things like that, but they didn't go too much into it. So I can appreciate that. Again, I think it's cool, like you said, that this is kind of like a time capsule for our childhood and seeing like the stuff we saw growing up. Like we don't see that a lot. Like we always see documentaries from like the 70s or like the, you know, the 30s, the, like way beyond us. We know that as history. Yeah, stop. We are blessed. Okay. But also, so yeah, I just love seeing that the nostalgia was everything for me. Like it just made my heart smile especially at the beginning, just seeing, you know, Black people just living and just being cute and enjoying life and looking good and just having a good time. So yes, I had a good time. So I am ready to give my rating after all of that. I am ready. So I am going to give it a Queen Latifah as well.
Fair enough.
I can't believe we agree. I cannot. I
mean, we agree. You know, we coming down 85 South, and I'm coming East. Coming up. We both meeting in Atlanta.
Up yonder.
If you are watching this and you have suggestions of things you want us to review, if you have questions, queries, all these things, you can send them to us, ubiquitousblacks@gmail.com. But also you can participate by commenting on this if you're watching this on YouTube. You can also leave comments and reviews on your podcast platform of choice. But also, and always remember, 5 stars only. If it's not 5 stars, don't even touch nothing. Just don't. Okay. You can find me on various social media platforms. You can find me on Instagram, which hopefully by the time we're done with this is back up. We couldn't go live over there tonight, but whatever. You can find me on Instagram at T-Ron World, on TikTok, which if it's still active when you're watching this, it's not been banned. You can find me there.
Lord Jesus.
On TikTok. At T-Ron with 2 underscores on the end. And you can also find Ubiquitous Blacks on various social media platforms as well. Tiara, where can they find you?
You can find me on my Instagram. It's at Tiara Takes, at T-I-E-R-A-T-A-K-E-S underscore. I'm over there doing travel content, so check me out. Also, all things Ubiquitous Blacks, just find me there. Hit T up. You know, I'll figure it out. We'll find out. But like you said, please send suggestions our way, ideas, whatever you have. You watch something cool, interesting, send it our way. And we might check it out. We might not. We're going to see. Let me not lie to y'all. We're going to vet it and then we're going to
see. Yeah, we'll vet it. We'll figure it out.
We got to vet it first. Through it,
and we'll let you know.
Yes, but think of us when you watch something new. Think of us and then send it our way.